Welcome to the Calyrex Game Corner's Pokemon D&D campaign, featuring Cindy, a hot-headed teen with a penchant for arson, Gimli, an admirable father seeking to reunite his family, Elodie, a fun-loving baker with a whimsical heart, and Schmidt, a courageous young man searching for his purpose with a duck. Together, they make the Quacko Paco, and this is Dunsparce and Drampa. Last time on Dunsparce and Drampa, the Quacko Paco tied up NRG operatives Nickel and Saki, who had attempted to steal cabbage and drop them off at the Mauville City Police Department. Coming to the conclusion that the Paco needs to keep their eyes on Mewtwo's nest while he recovers from NRG-related trauma, the group decided to enlist the help of one of Cindy's old babysitters, Claudia, who is charging them 150 Pokédollars a night while supervising the berry farm. Schmidt, Elodie, Cindy, and Gimli, you are all about to be on your way to wherever you are about to go. Do you wrap up any final loose ends at the berry farm before you embark? What do you do?
Are we taking the wagon with us or not?
We will be flying.
Fabulous. We're leaving the wagon here.
Do you just kind of...
I leave it like inside the gate area close to the house, okay. But outside the house.
So yeah, you do that. The Cradley Flyer kind of feels right at home. Being in a garden, you know, it feels like maybe the grass type Pokemon might actually use it to get some work done. Any other errands before you go on your merry way?
Don't believe so.
I feel like we were going to stop and do something in Mauville, but I don't remember what it was. Send letters to hostages.
Are we really going to do that?
Okay, we don't have to do that. It probably wouldn't work. We can head straight out.
Okay. Granted that you are all ready, what does the flying formation look like? Do we all just jump on Diana? What is the process?
Yep, shell and shout on, that's it.
Schmidt sends out Diana, the Gyarados, who is ready to cart the party over to wherever their destination is. Who claims which section of the Gyarados for riding? It's all first dibs, so just go for it.
I call mid.
Shotgun. What is shotgun?
Right behind the driver, obviously.
Okay. Yeah. Whoever's on the head clearly like holds on to the horns crest thing, right? That's certainly, yes. Certainly. And I would imagine that Schmidt. If you're in the middle, that's probably fine. I don't know if y'all have seen Gyarados fly like in Legends Arceus, but it definitely kind of undulates its tail. So
it's a wiggly, yeah.
Yeah, definitely a flapper. So whoever's going to be back there is probably going to need to hang on and be strong. But what does shotgun mean, Grace? What is that?
Second.
Okay, so maybe like the neck? Like if Schmidt's at the head, maybe like where the neck connects. Are y'all looking at a Gyarados right now? I'll do the favor. This is real science that we have to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Grace has like a poster on her ceiling of Gyarados that she wakes up to.
Yeah.
Yeah, above your bed. Yeah, yeah.
I kiss it.
Gyarados is not a
all the way
kisser.
On your ceiling, dude. You just get up and like jump up to your ceiling to give a little kiss.
Yeah,
that's sick.
Very good.
Okay, I'll make up a little fang.
What do you mean by that?
Draw everybody's placement on the.
Oh,
Gyarados.
A fang. Okay.
I'm yeah. Sorry.
I don't know why, but Gyarados being in out of context spoilers made me laugh so hard.
I was like, yeah, this is a good spoiler.
It's great. Yeah, it's good and true. Yeah.
No context, just...
It's okay. Out of context.
So we got Shmin at the head at the crest, Elodie at like the neck part, Cindy in the middle where her body like curves, it has a serpent curve. Then that leaves Gimli where? Hanging on to the back or the
tail?
Yeah,
it would be the back, yeah.
Okay, so that would require you to like hold on like with your arms and or legs probably. Or maybe you can just grab a fin. But the other three positions are seatable is what I'm getting at. And I feel like that position is not necessarily seatable. I guess if she elongates, it'd be all right. But all of that discussion to say the Paco successfully all climbs aboard at Diana... Schmidt is sitting at the crest of Gyarados, you know, the three-pointed horn appendage on Gyarados' head. Elodie is sitting around the neck. Gimli is hanging on to like the abdomen section. And Cindy is sitting behind Gimli. And then we'll have Gimli just hanging on by the tail, ready to go on this.
That's what I thought, yeah. It's a hand.
Yeah, so the tail is probably the floppiest part of the Gyarados as she flies. And Gimli's just, he's just going for it. he's really latched on and he's getting thrown around. Does anyone have their Pokemon out also? I'm assuming Quacko.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely not.
Okay, yeah, I'm not sure Trevor is a good fit for riding.
Yeah, there'd be an awkward ride for anyone in my party, so.
Yeah.
Everybody is away.
Okay.
I'll have Blueberry out on my head.
Okay, very cute. Blueberry loves being a hat. Oh, yeah,
the Blueberry hat.
Yeah. Everyone hops aboard Diana, and they are ready to go. Is there some sort of command word or something that Schmidt says, like, to get Diana to go? Is it mush? Is it yip yip? What is the phrase?
I was going to say yip yip, yeah.
Is it yip yip?
Yeah.
Okay. Just for fun, roll a Pokemon handling.
If I... Ah, damn it. That's wisdom. I'm proficient. 30, 20.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
I thought it'd be funny if I got bad.
Yeah, Diana was going to go almost regardless, but I was just curious as to how receptive she would be to the yip yip. And she is, in fact, receptive to it. She bucks her head back a bit and lets out like a deep rumbly growl and takes off into the sky as a flying dragon. Schmidt, you are the captain in the situation. You all kind of ascend diagonally pretty far up, a couple hundred feet, perhaps. It is up to you to direct where the party is going. Picture the soaring from Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. That is more or less what you're doing, but on a Gyarados with a group rather than on the back of a Mega Latios or Latias. What is your pathing? Where are you going? Do you have a map of Hoenn?
We're gonna head west to the river, and then we're gonna kind of follow the river up. And then once we get past Mauville, we're gonna skirt back around. Because I do want to stop at the Windstrait estate first.
Okay, so you're just kind of screaming.
I didn't clear that with everybody, but that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, okay.
Fine. Yeah, we're on board.
Yeah. You can hear as you're flying, like, you can hear Gimli trying to communicate with you all in, like, a very normal, like, speaking voice. But because he's getting thrown around, it's, like, windy. You don't really, like, hear what he's saying. I will let Cindy and Gimli roll a perception, perhaps.
19.
Okay.
Perception. Nat one.
Okay, great.
No thoughts, head empty.
Yeah, Cindy has no idea. Gimli's pretty familiar with the sound of his son's voice, and he can hear Gimli not trying to have a conversation, but him saying, "Hey, Dad, I forgot that Red might have something waiting for us when we get to the desert ruins, so just remind me when we get there." Do you respond, or you just internalize this information?
Thumbs up.
Okay, yeah. He would give a thumbs up as well, but Gimli is hanging on. Not necessarily for dear life, but it does require some attention. Per Schmidt's navigational instructions, you all skirt around the outskirts of Mauville, perhaps with the intention for Schmidt not being recognized as the intruder that broke into Sylph Company the day prior. I do want Schmidt to roll a stealth for Diana. You can include your cloak bonus.
12.
12. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
As much as a large serpent can fly through the sky quietly and unnoticed, Diana does a fairly good job. Surely some folks in Mauville see a serpent, a flying type Pokemon flying through the sky, but perhaps they don't think anything of it.
You know what's wild about that?
Hmm.
I rolled a 3.
Yeah, you got those modifiers.
Schmidt is just broken.
Yeah.
Broken.
Well, you guys are kind of late game. It makes sense that you're good at certain things. So the first destination you said is the Windstrait House?
Yep.
Okay, welcome back to Hoenn Route 111, just north of Mauville City. You see below you on the ground a gate that leads to Mauville. You see some people milling about with their Pokemon. It changes from the urban landscape that you're familiar with, Mauville City, the capital of the Hoenn region, to a more rural route. There's a pond nearby. There's some jagged rocky cliffs, some lush grass and trees, and situated early in the route north of Mauville City is somewhere that you have been before. It is the home of the Windstrait family. Does Diana descend and do you pay them a visit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Diana will kind of send to like the side of the house, like kind of away from like the front door. So just to like not startle them.
Okay.
Maybe in like the middle of the route there, if I'm remembering the map correct.
Yeah,
and then Schmidt will get off and just kind of walk up to the front door.
Okay, yeah, Diana can park, so to speak, descending kind of in a spiraling motion because she can't just fall. and she lays her tail down in the grass outside of the Windstraight home, more towards the center of the route, and Schmidt will descend and hop off of Diana and go to knock on the Windstraight family's door. Does anyone join Schmidt?
Yeah, I'll join him.
Yeah.
Okay. Jim Lee... Are we leaving Jim Lee in the car?
Yeah, I was just thinking, Jim Lee kind of stands by the tail of Diana and makes a gesture like, in a different world, he'd be like, I'll stay with the car, but he's it's not a car, it's a dragon.
I'll make sure to roll down the windows for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets a little hot, dude, so. Yeah.
She's listening to her favorite music, so she's fine. Schmidt and Party, everyone else, you all walk up to the Windstraight family residence door. You look around you and you see that they have a nice home. A reasonably large estate. Seems like a family home that would house multiple generations. And again, you've been here before. And you look around, you see a variety of trees around. And a lot of them have kind of dents in their bark towards the middle. Some of them are quite low to the ground and small dents. And then as the dents get higher up the trees, the dents become larger and the bark is more torn away. Do you knock on the door?
Yeah.
Okay.
Schmidt also has like... realizing what he has to do right now, like he has a giant knot in his stomach.
Yeah. Schmidt gives it a knock. A few moments later, a woman holding a grass type Pokemon in her arms, a Roselia, comes to the door. She opens it up and she looks at you all with familiarity and she says, hello, how can I help you? As if she kind of remembers you.
Hello. Good to see you again.
She's going to make a roll. She does not do particularly well, but there's a voice from the back of the room, another woman's voice, and she says, Mom, it's the Quacko Paco. And this woman says, oh, excuse me. I remember when you came by. I'm Victoria. I hope you remember me. Please, all of you, come in. And she invites you all in. Do you all accept?
Okay. Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. You recognize the Windstraight home. It is furnished quite nicely. It's very familial. There are family photos all over the place. And additionally, something that... Well, Schmidt, roll a perception.
Natural 20.
Great. You all were here, what, a little over a week ago, I believe. Maybe like a week and a half, 2 weeks. And it looks mostly the same, except in the living room area, next to a couch and a chair, there's a side table that has a bunch of like family photos on it. You see accomplished trainers and lots of Pokemon. These are all the Windstraight family. And there's like a special section put aside for none other than Vince Windstraight. There are photos of him and his Dratini, and also evolving into Dragonair. There's lots of little keepsakes and trinkets, and there's also a lit candle.
They might know.
Victoria addresses you all, and she says, what brings you to our lovely home?
Well, I think first of all, we want to offer our condolences for what happened to Vince a week ago.
Yeah, you see Victoria, the woman who let you in, and Vivi, who is the woman who confirmed that you were the Quacko Paco. These are the two individuals in the room currently. Vivi is sitting at a kitchen table playing some sort of video game in her hands. And Victoria and Vivi both share an expression of, solemn gratitude. Victoria says, yes, thank you. It's something that we've been dealing with for quite some time, but the Draconid elders have been very helpful and communicative, and they've helped to bring us peace.
They were here?
Victoria says, yes, a couple of them paid us a visit not too long ago, shortly after it happened.
Oh, that's surprising.
Schmidt kind of, I don't want to say the word begrudgingly, but very like...
like somber adjacent, but the
somber and also like very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like this is not something he wants to be talking about. He pulls out two Pokeballs and he says, we were there when he passed. These were his two Dragonairs. We wanted to return them home.
Vivi, sitting at the table, she puts her game down and she kind of covers her mouth. And Victoria begins to cry and she says, Pride and Prejudice, I didn't think I would see them again. Thank you. And she takes the Pokeballs from you.
Well, that was rough.
Yeah.
We're so sorry for your loss.
Victoria says, please, no need to be sorry, no need to apologize. Vince lived a good life doing exactly what he loved to do. And we are very grateful that you would return this to us. And we are grateful that you met him and spent any amount of time with him in any capacity. Seriously, thank you. And also, we've heard of your exploits as adventurers throughout the region, and we know the work that you're doing. And as a family of experienced trainers ourselves, we want to say, keep it up. And as a matter of fact, Victoria goes into a different room, and you can hear the shuffling of a cabinet. And she says, the Winstraits have a savings of useful items for our family since we were all trainers. And these are some items that we were saving up for Vince that we know he would love nothing more than to have you all take them off of our hands for his behalf. And she uncups her hands and she shows you all 8 blue wrapped candies, and she wants you to take them.
Schmidt will, yeah, kind of cup his hands and take them from her in a very respectful kind of. I imagine Schmidt's not really like of Asian descent, but he's from like the Johto region, so he'd have like a very respectful like bow, I think.
Sure, yeah, Johto is definitely a region of culture and respect and tradition ingrained, so yeah, mm-hmm. Schmidt is able to be very respectful in times that are formal or otherwise just demand respect. The exchange is made, and Victoria also takes the time to visit with Pride and Prejudice while you are all here. The 2 Dragonair emerge from their balls, and they kind of twirl about in a synchronous dance, and they end in a position where they end up nuzzling into Victoria in an affectionate manner. One of them, after doing this dance, makes a very sincere, direct gaze with Schmidt. Schmidt, roll a charisma check.
Rolling a charisma check. Modifiers on that. Nothing. Just flat 12.
Victoria says, you know, Pride and Prejudice have always been a unit, but it looks to me like Pride's journey isn't quite done. Would you consider, at the very least, just taking Pride with you to see it to the end of your adventure?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'll make sure he... I'm assuming Pride's like male and Prejudice is female.
That is correct.
All right. I'll be like, yeah, I'll take him with him. I'll make sure he has a great journey.
Okay. Victoria returns Pride to his dusty, dented Pokeball and hands it back over to you. What you saw from Pride's gaze was just a feeling of kind of incompletion, wanting more, where Prejudice is happy to be reunited with the other Winstraits. During this discussion, you see an old man kind of hobble down the stairs, and he gives a wave, and he interacts with Prejudice. You recognize this as Victor Winstraight. Seems like the family's getting together. He doesn't have much to say, but he, you know, he gives a bow and expresses his gratitude to the Paco. Victoria is joined by Vivi. Vivi gets up and kind of stands with her in Prejudice and says, once again, all of you, we can't thank you enough. And if there's anything that us Winstraits can do to help you with your journey, please let us know. And once again, just thank you for being kind to Vince and knowing him.
I'll say, no, you've done more than you've ever needed to for us. We are deeply grateful. And then after that, we'll kind of start shuffling for the door.
Okay. Yeah, does anyone else have anything to say or any final words to give to the Winstraits? For now, perhaps you will see them again.
Yeah, just same thing as offering my condolences, and just you guys have done enough for us, and we very much appreciate you, and it won't be the last you see of us.
Very good.
Cindy decides this is not a time for finger guns and does not do finger guns on her way out the door.
Perhaps that is appropriate.
Does little finger guns facing forward so they don't see it because she can't help herself.
As you are all leaving, Vivi shouts out in kind of like not a pained voice, but you know, she's been crying, so she's a little squealy. She says, if you all see Vito, be sure you say hi. We haven't seen him and we miss him.
Of course.
The man in the back, Victor, he says, Vito is the most accomplished of the Winstraits after Vicky as far as his battle achievements. He spends most of his days outside and around Evergrande City and Sootopolis City. So if you ever are out there, look for a man with messy short green hair, and he likes to wear his red jacket. If you see him, let us know.
Oh, okay.
All right. We'll keep an eye out.
The Winstraits look grateful. Mm-hmm. And once again, they all kind of give you a solemn bow as you depart. Do you have any other business at the southern end of Route 111?
Nope.
Is that right, gang? We're good.
Get back in the car.
Get back,
get
in,
back
the
in the car. All right, okay. All right, kids, get in the car.
All right. Do note that you have been given 8 rare candies, and you also have possession of pride. Pride is not registered to you at the time, at the moment, but if you wish to do that, you can simply do it at the Pokemon Center. You've received the Winstrate's blessing, or you can just kind of supervise and take care of Pride on your journey. Or you can go back to the berry farm and leave Pride on the desk. You can do whatever you would like with Pride. But Pride has joined the party, more or less.
Okay.
On to the car. Are we all assuming the same formation as before?
Yes.
Okay. You all do that. Schmidt at the top, then Elodie, then Gimli, then Cindy, and Gimli on the tail. You begin to ascend into the sky, and you are flying above Route 111. You see that as you're on the back of Diana, as you begin to ascend up, it's fairly convenient that you fly, because around the same place where you met Lasagna as a Dwebble, there seems to have been some sort of fallen rocks or something from the cliffs that surround this route, and the pathway is blocked, so you would have had to figure out your way around those rocks anyways. So flying on Diana is a great choice. Few miles to the north, you see one of the many elements of Hoenn that makes it such a beautiful and diverse region is the transition from lush grasslands to harsh desert. You can see winds blowing, and the visibility becomes much poorer over the horizon at that point, assuming this is your destination. However, I will ask Schmidt, the pilot, where are you going?
I think we'll just go and park at the mouth of the cave.
Okay.
Or the mouth of the desert.
Okay.
Not like all the way in.
Got it. So more or less where the grassland meets the sand, and you will figure it out from there.
Yeah.
Not trying to fly through the deserts is what I understand.
Yes.
Okay. You find yourself at the part of Route 111. That is the crux between the grass and the sand. If you looked over to your west, you would see hills that roll over each other, and to the northwest, you would see the rocky summit of Jagged Pass and also consequentially Mount Chimney, something you're very familiar with. And there's smoke billowing out of the top, not in like a explosive sense, but you remember that the first time you went to Mount Chimney, there was no plume. And now there's a steady stream of smoke coming from presumably magma from the crown of the volcano. And you can see the buildings and structures of Lava Ridge off in the distance. You can't make out any detail as it is a few miles away, but you get a relative sense of where you are in the Hoenn region. You were all standing outside, just outside where the cliffs naturally make kind of a wind tunnel, where if you went any further, the winds would become harsh and the sand would start whipping about your face. What do you do before you enter the desert?
Go. We got our goggles.
I was going to say, Schmidt pulls out his Kamina glasses that he never returned that he said he was going to.
Where did he get those again?
Some random building in Lava Ridge. I forget where.
Okay, but he's got Kamina glasses.
Yeah.
Can you describe those just in case people don't know Gurren Lagann?
Yeah, they're like a big V shape that come to like two giant points above the ears.
They're very excessive and over the top and large.
Yes.
And in that sense, they may provide protection similar to goggles and less similar to glasses because of how over the top they are. Gimli always has his go goggles with him, as does Gimli. It is a family tradition to protect your eyes. They often work in areas where there are rocks and dust, so it is wise to protect your eyes, so they are always prepared. Cindy and Elodie, what is your eye protection of choice?
Don't we have go-go goggles?
You...
We got a set of go-go goggles before we went into the desert the last time.
That is correct. You are able to wield those if you so choose. I just wanted to verify that was your method of choice.
Also, does Cindy, yes. How does my, does not suffer from environmental damage? It's as a result of being too hot or too cold. So yeah, that does not affect sand.
Yeah, you could still get whipped around by sand. It'd be uncomfortable.
Okay.
Just to Pokemonize our campaign, we will say that you require eye protection to go in the desert because that's what they do. So needless to say, you all have that, but just wanted to confirm what that looks like. For all of you, including Schmidt with the Kamina glasses, your vision turns to tinted red since all of the Go goggles and the Kamina glasses have red lenses. Your visibility, if you turn around and look to Lava Ridge or look back to Mauville, is pretty poor, but looking through this blowing sands, actually, you feel like you can see fairly well considering the environment. Any more preparations before you enter?
Sorairo Day starts playing in the background.
Yeah. Row, fight the power.
Are any Pokemon joining you, and has Diana been returned?
Diana's been returned, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll return all my Pokemon, too.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody's away.
Okay. Does Quacko have protection?
I think I gave, like, Schmidt had a pair of safety goggles.
Yeah.
And he gave the goggles to Quacko.
Okay.
That sounds... they, like, the fancy, somebody had a pair of, like, fancy goggles that you could see, like, extra, extra good.
I think that's the combination of glasses that Schmidt's wearing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We can give Quacko the go goggles. You have to tighten the strap quite a bit to do that. Yeah. But Quacko is prepared to.
It looks kind of like a dad at, like, a water park. He's, like, fixing the you know, the life vest on his kid. Quacko's maybe, like, squirming a little bit, ready to go. And he was just like, no, stay. I got to get this tight.
All right. With all that being said, you all enter the desert for the second time. The sands are blowing all over the place. The sand underneath your shoes kind of slows down your movement, makes it a little trickier to walk. Cindy's perhaps a little bit more nimble in this environment. She's been in more varied terrains for more often. But needless to say, it is difficult to walk around. There are various Pokemon out and about. Gimli almost ends up running into what was seemingly just a cactus, but turns out to be a small ball cactus Pokemon, Cacnea. It notices a lot of you and decides not to engage in any particular way and begins to roll away in the sand. You can also see a variety of Sandshrew and Sandslash running around, and you hear the sounds of Skarmory screeching out in the distance. There are a few people milling about, primarily people who are athletes and for some reason think that they get an improved workout in the desert. Who knows? Maybe they do. Maybe it's harder to run. Maybe it's hotter. Perhaps they get a better workout. And you also see ruined maniacs of Omari Kin digging around in the sand and chunking away at walls, hoping to find either treasure or fossils or something else. There are structures off in the distance of the various directions that you can go. So, all of this to say, with how the visibility is in the desert, you kind of just got to pick where you're going, because it all kind of looks the same. If where you came from is south, you have the option to go north or southeast or east. You're also welcome to, like, make checks to inform your decision. Or you can just go.
Does Gimli think?
Yeah, I was about to say, does Gimli have a preference?
Sure. You all can, like, check in with Gimli, and he will make a roll. And he says, if I remember correctly, he's kind of shouting over the wind. He says, if I remember correctly, we have to go around this corner, turn right, and then we turn right again. Do you all trust Gimli's recollection?
Yeah. No reason not to.
Okay. You do that. You are all walking through the sand, trudging along. I would like a perception check from, we will say, Elodie, please.
You got it. 16?
Okay. That is good enough. It is noisy in the sense that the wind is blowing and there's sand hitting your face and your goggles, but you hear something that you almost hear more with your body in the direction that you're heading, and it is a constant, rhythmic, deep rumble that goes, foot-um, but-um, but-um. And you can't exactly parse out what is making that sound or where exactly it is coming from, but you know that as you are following Gimli, it is getting louder. You aren't sure if anyone else hears it. Do you do anything with this information?
Yeah, I'll be like, does anyone else feel that?
With Elodie bringing it up, I think everyone in the party, without difficulty, would be made aware of this sound slash feeling.
Ooh.
What the heck is that?
Yeah, what is that?
Is it a great tusk?
Okay. No!
Gimli looks around, and he says, well, whatever that is, it's either deep in the ground or it's very large. But let's just keep going. And he trudges on, turning right yet again after previously having turned right. I know that this is a little contrary to the Paco's views about making directions. You're making a double right turn. Is this accepted by the Paco?
Schmidt, like, throws up a little bit in his mouth, but he'll continue.
Yeah, I get kind of a tummy ache, actually. Like, something
I'm uncomfortable.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The vibes are just majorly thrown off by these right turns. We need to get some lefts in here at some point.
Right. We're being bad adventurers today.
Thankfully, seemingly, Gimli's memory serves you well. As you approach a stone mound in the desert that is quite large, probably about 100 feet wide, 100 feet long, and 40, 50 or so feet tall. What is strange about it is that before you got particularly close, you just didn't even know this was here. But the way that the wind is blowing and the sand is being arranged, it just makes a mirage of all sorts of things. Around this stone mound in the desert, almost seems like a monument, there are six large boulders that are arranged in like a pattern that is too convenient, too precise to have happened by nature. As you approach, Jimmy says, I think this is it. This is the desert ruins. And you all approach it. However, from approaching from the northern side, you do not see any sort of entrance. What does the Paco do about this?
How many boulders did you say were out front?
There are six. There are three on each side. They're arranged almost in a circular way.
Maybe we need to rearrange these boulders.
Okay. You ever thought of where to put them?
No.
Perfect.
As you are standing around, you have attracted the interest of three small hippopotamus-like Pokemon. One of them is a notably different color than the other ones. They are kind of swimming through the sand, and they look very curious and cute. They go right up to Gimli, and they're just kind of sniffing, and as they breathe in the sand, sand pours out of their bodies.
Oh, hello, fellas.
Gimli would, recognize these as hippopotamus, as native to the Sinnoh Dex. They do not seem to be threats at the moment. They are simply vibing.
Yeah, but they can turn into threats real quickly if there's a Hippowdon involved. So best
well,
to just
guys,
right, but best to keep our distance a little bit from them.
All right.
What do you do to shoo them off or remove yourself from the situation?
They're right up on me, yeah. Just trying to sniff me.
Yeah, they're sniffing you. They're curious. They're inquisitive.
Let's see. What do I have in my inventory? Because I'm sure they smell something on me because I carry food like a heathen. Let's see. Got a couple berries on me. Let's see. Is there anything else? Dang, all those berries are useful. Don't I have food on me? I got half a pound of gherkins. Do hippos
I have
like
berries.
Pickles?
Do hippos like pickles? Question of all time. That's really great.
I don't. Yeah, I've never seen a hippo.
I think that's the name of the episode.
Yeah, probably.
Hippos like pickles, dude.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pull out like an orange and raspberry that I have in my inventory.
Okay.
Just kind of tease in front of them to see if they're interested in these.
Sure. Yeah, you hold out some food items that you have in your inventory, and the three hippos, they make what are seemingly pleased hippo sounds. These hippo sounds for these Pokemon consists of, like, clicks and chirps, like, and they are interested in your food.
Okay, I'm gonna place it down in front of them and kind of back off from them.
Okay, you do that. You said it was, what, a gherkin and a raspberry?
Orin and raspberry.
Orin and Ross. Okay, you can remove those berries from your inventory. And as you put them down, you notice that they quickly begin to fall into the sand, which is unusual because they're light, but the hippopotamus follow them. They kind of dive into the sand with a whoosh sound, and you can see their mouths open up, and the three hippopotamus are squabbling over the berries in the sand. They'll get them between their lips, and then they'll be tackled by another one of their members, and they'll spit them out, and then they'll rush through the sand to get to where it fell. And they're just, they're kind of playing, kind of eating, having a fun time.
Nice.
Gimli walks over to the mound, which is presumably the desert ruins, and he lays his hands on it as if he's, like, looking for something. He's going to make a roll. Yeah, he's going to say, oh, wow, you guys are going to have to come check this out. He invites you all to go touch the stone mound. Do you do so?
Yes. Sure.
Yes.
All of you notice and feel as you touch the rock, not only is it like it looks very rugged and it is rugged, but in each like curve and bump, it is perfectly smooth. Very unusual. However, that isn't what Gimli was necessarily asking you to notice. As you lay your hands on the stone mound, you feel that same rhythm from before course through your body. Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. Just very consistently and rhythmic and a deep rumbling emanating from the rock.
Dude, he's summoning one of the worms from Dune.
Not the Dune worms.
That'd be awesome.
Gimli continues to feel around. He says, well, that's weird. However, I know that Hoenn temples and ruins like this tend to have a history and notoriety of being associated with puzzles. So I'm wondering if there's something that we're supposed to do to get inside. And he keeps feeling on the northern face of the ruins. Do all of you have any sort of ideas or do you go do anything?
We should, like, tap it at the same rhythm as the noise.
Okay. Elodie, give me a tap check. Do you just hit the rock at the same rhythm?
Yes.
Okay, roll strength.
18?
18, yeah. You match the rhythm perfectly, and you hit the stone fairly hard. There seems to be no effect from the stone mound or the rhythmic rumbling from nearby. But it looks pretty cool. It looks like you're doing some sort of rhythmic exercise. Jim Lee kind of nods his head, like as if he's rocking out a little bit. Elodie's just a natural performer, you know?
Of course. That was the goal all along, to just perform.
Yeah, just honestly, I was just trying to like help you guys have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I certainly am, though.
Definitely successfully done so, that's for sure. The Hippopotas are continuing to play, but there's only one berry remaining. What else is the Paco doing in this situation? Perhaps Cindy or Schmidt has an idea.
I got no ideas.
Any ideas?
My then? Ideas are not good ideas.
Nonsense.
So I could use my fire types to turn all the sand in the desert to glass.
You could do that.
Yeah, what would that accomplish?
All exactly. of it?
Yeah, exactly. Every single bit of sand to glass?
It would change the landscape dramatically.
Truly.
I feel like we don't want to do that, though.
Again, I have only bad ideas.
Jim Lee suggests, he says, well, I guess maybe we should take a look at it from a different angle. Maybe that would help.
To the skies!
True, what does it look like from a bird's eye view?
If only we had a bird.
It is a rough, like, ziggurat or pyramid shape, so it is ascendable. Mm-hmm. Or you could try to fly up there. That is also an option.
Can I just have Quacko get a bird's eye view?
Yes. Quacko is going to have to try to do so because this is difficult flying conditions. So please have Quacko make a DC 15 strength or dex check.
17.
Okay, he does it. He's struggling. He's having a hard time, but you can tell that the goggles are really helping out his eyes because otherwise he'd have a really tough time with that. And he gets blown around. He gets pushed around. He's not a huge bird, but he eventually makes it to the top and he... give him a d20. I'll add a modifier to it.
7.
Okay. He's gonna give a quack to Schmidt. Schmidt, roll a quack interpretation roll.
That would also be 17.
Okay. Quacko says that he sees a person on the eastern side of this monument.
Like a guy?
Your interpretation of the single quack suggests that there is an individual, a human person, around the corner.
There's a guy.
Let's go around the corner.
Yeah, let's go talk to the guy.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
This would be the left side of the ruins. Unfortunately, I believe with you approaching from the north, is this a left turn? No, it's a right and then a left, kind of. So perhaps you're making your first left. I just want to ease the blow for you guys a little bit. Yeah, you walk up and you see a young person, you know, perhaps an actual teenager. They are covered in head to toe in dark clothing, and they have kind of a scarf over their face. And they are holding a chisel, and they're holding an aerosol can of some sort. And they are snooping around the outside of this monument. Do you approach them? Do you say anything?
Hello, fellow kid.
Yeah, it's a fair assumption that they're about Cindy's age. Roll a charisma, Cindy.
14.
Okay. The person turns their attention to Cindy, and they kind of ignore her. And then they do a double take, and they see the other individuals who are more adult of age, who are with the Paco. And they say, oh, shit. And they start to run through the sand to the south. It seems like they are trying to run away from you.
Where are you?
No. Going? Come back.
It sounds very esteemed and persuasive, Elodie.
No way. No. Come back.
If you really mean it, you can roll persuasion. But if you don't mean it, you can have them run. That is fine.
No, I definitely mean it.
Okay.
I'm really saying this.
Okay. It is up to you if you want to try and persuade. You don't have to.
As a 21.
Okay. They turn around and they look kind of hesitant, and they see a lot of you and they feel like maybe they recognize you or something. And this individual starts to walk back very slowly and cautiously while peeking over their shoulder. Gimli, roll me a straight d20, please.
Absolutely. A 10.
A 10. Okay. Not the role you want it to get, unfortunately. The Hippopotas are still kind of grumbling, like, behind you as they're fighting over Barry, and then you feel, like, a deepish rumble behind you, and then emerging from the sand is, in fact, a large, dark-colored Hippowdon coming to break up the scuffle. The Hippowdon sees the lot of you fairly close to her children and begins to charge through the sand.
See?
If you,
I knew it.
If you elect not to just run, I will have you roll initiative.
Why is Gimli always right?
Because we always go left.
And
so true.
God damn it.
And for the record, the kid who turned around to approach you also sees the Hippowdon and just takes off south, not messing around to come back to Elodie at this point. In fact, he runs south and then he turns the corner of the building rather than continuing to run south. Not building.
All right, gang, we double down. We chase the kid while running away from the Hippowdon.
So true.
Just run around in circles around this pyramid.
Yeah, it's a real Scooby-Doo scenario we got going. We're back, baby.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
May I get a DC 10 dex check from the party to make sure that they don't trip and fall into the sand, as it is difficult to run over.
Oh, shit.
I have passed.
DC 10 dex?
Yeah.
Nothing else? Just dex?
Could you justify your movement over sands to not being running and using a different score?
I got 11 on the die.
Nice.
11 as well.
I don't think anything's gonna make up 5 points unless I try to argue that I'm using my survival skills to.
Can I survive? Can I be like, Cindy, you got this, and give her Elodie's party time?
Sure. How many of those do you have?
How many do I have today, right now? I don't know if I've spent any today.
I don't think you have.
So I would have 5 of those total, and it would be a D8.
Okay, yeah, you can consume that, and Cindy, you can use that immediately if you like. You will have to get, well, you rolled a 5, so you have to get a 5 or greater.
5 on the die.
Or greater, yeah.
So plus a 3 gives me 8, with just my dex is 9.
Okay, well, I tried.
It was worth the effort. Everyone, including Gimli. Gimli successfully runs through the sand. The Hippowdon natively live in the desert, and they are good with the sand. They are used to it. And with the straggler running behind as if you were being chased by any other creature, like a bear in the woods, will attempt to strike Cindy. The large hippo actually gets a critical hit. That's pretty great. This Hippowdon is going for a headbutt into Cindy. And I'm rolling critical hit damage, which is resisted because Cindy is a human. Cindy gets launched into the air and takes 30 points of normal type damage as Mother Hippowdon thrashes her head and flings Cindy as everyone is running away. Cindy, roll a d4 as you take that damage. This d4 will determine what direction you are flown. 1 will be backwards. 2 will be... Okay, so you are actually thrown atop the ziggurat. You land on the rocks. You take an additional d6 of damage. Please roll a d6.
It's a 6.
Okay, you take a full 6 points of damage as you collide with the rocky top of the ziggurat. We can assume that Quacko is waiting for you there, actually, because that is last where Quacko was. And you are atop the structure. Congratulations. You are also rather cut up and scraped and bruised and feel very not good. How much HP do you have remaining?
16.
Okay. Good crit from Mother Hippowdon. That was definitely a way to kick things off. Hippowdon continues to chase and you all run, and unless, again, does anyone want to not continue running? And do you all turn the corner to chase the teenager?
Do we
I
see
think we all turn.
That was all to Cindy? Yeah, I think we all turn otherwise.
Okay. You all turn the corner, and now you would be on the southern face of the desert ruins, and you all catch, out of the corner of your eye, the kid run into a cave-like entrance that leads into the ruins. Perhaps there was no puzzle at all. Perhaps the door was just on the southern side. Do you all follow the teenager into the ruins?
I mean, have we noticed what happened to Cindy?
Certainly. You knew that she got attacked and you heard her go ow or scream or whatever happened, and she got thrown atop the pyramid. Thankfully, it's not like a pointed pyramid. It's flat on the top, but she's up there. She's like 50 feet. She got thrown quite far. 50 feet high. She's up with Quacko. They're hanging out on the top. The Hippowdon continues to roar behind you all, and the Hippopotas have scattered. They don't want to do anything to do with this.
Maybe like wave our arms and be like, there's an entrance here, and then go run in.
Okay. Elodie and Cindy both roll d20s.
5.
20.
Okay, great. Elodie is very hard to hear through the sandstorm and the roaring Hippowdon and the rhythmic thumping that is coming ominously from the structure, but Cindy intuits and gets the idea that there is some sort of safety down the southern side of the ruins. So how would Cindy descend? If she wants to. She doesn't have to. She can stay up there if she wants.
I think I'll just chill with Quacko until the party is not running away from a Hippowdon.
Okay. Schmidt,
do you... Yeah, just like sit down. I'm like, I'm chilling.
Yeah. Schmidt, do you agree with just having Quacko hang out on top of the ruins?
I kind of want Quacko to make like some kind of intimidation
to Hippowdon.
Yeah.
Oh, neat. Okay, sure. Yeah, we don't need to flavor it necessarily. We can just roll intimidation, but if you have any ideas that might assist your DC,
just like maybe like Quacko like lands from the pyramid with like a leak strike into the sand, like just making like a big like boom, just to try to like kind of scare it off.
Oh, and he wants to like displace a bunch of sand to make like a dramatic entrance, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Entrance, yeah.
I have a cool vision for that. Yeah. Roll a intimidation, please.
What is intimidation based off of? Charisma? Okay. So it's a dirty one. It was not a natural one. I have a negative modifier charisma for Quacko. I rolled a 2.
Very good. Yeah, I think that's because of his nature, I think. I'm not sure. Yeah. Quacko throws his leak into the sand, and attempting to like make a big intimidation display, but rather it just kind of points into the sand, and that's pretty much it. And Quacko lands and goes to make like a threatening quack, but it's really just a squeak as he inhales some sand into his beak, and he's all coarse, and he begins to cough a little. Hippowdon is not threatened and lets out a roar and continues to charge towards Quacko. Cindy is still on atop of the temple. At this point, Gimli, Elodie, and Gimli would be able to enter the ruins. Do they do so?
Should we? Are we going to go in before Cindy has the opportunity to join us?
Is it safe to climb down?
It might take some work. Oh, but Hippowdon's still rampaging. That's correct. With Hippowdon distracted by Quacko, you might be able to try. This could be a good opportunity.
Okay.
My plan the whole time.
I'll start butt scooting down the safe side of the pyramid.
Are you prioritizing speed or safety?
Safety.
Okay. Roll me strength or dex.
Shit. That's a 4 on the die.
Okay.
My strength is -1. My dex is +1.
Okay. We'll take your dex score then. Yeah, Cindy, you go to scooty butt down the rocks at the top of the ruins, but these are unusually smooth. Perhaps they've been weathered by the never-ending sandstorm that takes place in this desert. And you begin to skid and slip a little bit, and you are beginning to slide down very quickly, but very out of control. I will ask Gimli and Jimli and Elodie to make reactionary saves to catch you. So, all of y'all, I want... a d20 with a skill of your choice, and your DC threshold is 14 to catch Cindy.
20.
Okay.
It's a natural 20.
Right? Yeah, that's fine. Do you have any flavor description for Gimli catching Cindy?
I just like see the slip and slide, kind of sigh, and then get into my quick dad position, and just like as she falls into my arms, kind of like, you know, like when a toddler's about to run into something and they do the quick dad scoop up.
Mm-hmm.
Just seen some kind of video like that where it's so like she falls into it's like, whoop. It's like, okay, all right.
Yeah. Making it look effortless with dad reflexes.
Yeah.
And Jim Lee certainly has a look of like familiarity of like, I was that kid once. You know, he recognizes that from Gimli. Gimli catches Cindy and writes her, and they are all right about at the entrance. The only ones who are not would be Quacko and then potentially Schmidt, depending on his involvement. I guess I should follow up with Schmidt. Schmidt and Quacko. Depending on what Quacko does right here, he may be engaged in an attack from the Hippowdon. What is Quacko's plan of action?
Man, I don't know. Are we fighting this thing, guys, or are we just bailing?
I'm certainly trying to bail.
Okay. Schmidt will also try to bail.
Okay. And will Quacko try to bail?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me just a flyaway check from Quacko. Dex, I'm going to say DC 11 in this context, just to get away from Hippowdon and dodge an attack.
Okay. I got a 13 on the die.
Okay. That is sufficient. Quacko can...
Oh, wait, I have an idea.
Okay.
This might be the stupidest shit I've ever done.
Let's hear it.
Can I throw 3 Altaria plushies? I know it's not like the Poke Doll item, but can I like throw them in a direction and then have Hippowdon like distract, have it distract Hippowdon?
Sure, yeah. Give me like a Schmidt deception on that. It doesn't need to be particularly high, but just as far as the efficacy of that. Yeah, let that rip. That's a cool idea. Ooh.
16.
Yeah, pretty good. You can mark off 3 Altaria plushies from your inventory. You had what, 15? How many did you have?
I had 11. I misspoke last time I said it.
Okay.
So now it is 11 minus 3. 8.
Okay. Yeah. With the distraction of the plushies, Hippowdon is genuinely like confused and still enraged, but now in a sense where it doesn't know what to target because it sees these 3 plushies that could be potential threats. It is distracted off of Quacko, and Quacko is able to turn the corner to the southern face of the ruins safely, as is Schmidt. Hippowdon is still enraged, but is currently distracted. Does everyone enter the desert ruins?
Yes.
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 Okay, very good. You do so. You all enter into a dark, cavernous expanse. The rocks inside of here are not all smooth like they are on the outside. They are quite rugged, quite rocky. There's lots of rubble and debris around. And you also see the teenager kind of just hiding in a corner, trying not to be noticed. It is a roughly square chamber. The ceiling is fairly high. It is about as high as the ziggurat is. And notably, you see a variety of markings on the walls all over the place. If someone wants to look into them, I would request a check of some sort. Also, the teenagers here.
I'm good at wall things.
Okay. Cool.
What's on the walls?
Do we want a teenager first before we wall things, or do we want to...
We could teenager.
What's up, teenager?
Do you say that?
Yes, absolutely.
They say, listen, I don't mean any trouble. I'm just trying to get away from that Hippowdon like you all are, okay? Just leave me alone.
Running before the Hippowdon started chasing us, though.
The teenager nervously hides an item of some sort behind their back as they are crouched in the corner. And they say, I'm just sightseeing. I'm just here to check things out.
Yeah, I don't trust this fucker at all.
Roll intimidation or persuasionality.
My rolls are catching up to me. But I'm still a goat, so it's fine. 17.
Okay. You convince them, or I don't know, they are influenced by Elodie's charm to reveal what they were hiding behind their back, and it is that aerosol container. It is in fact a container of spray paint, and they say, it's a known like rite of passage with our friends at the school that you all come to the ruins and you all like leave your mark. And if you all begin to look around, you will notice that there is a lot of graffiti in this chamber. There's lots of little tags and stupid drawings and little notes that are simple. That's like, Maria was here, and very kind of, depending on your opinion on the matter, maybe a disgraceful vandalism of something that is historically significant, or it is children expressing themselves in a way that is culturally relevant and gets them in with their peers. That is probably among the strange markings that are on the walls. You don't have to make a particular check to see that this place is vandalized.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'm surprisingly more fine with vandalism in this situation than I should be.
Yeah, that's fine. Cindy, do you want to do it?
That's sick.
Rite of passage.
Rite of passage.
Nothing is sacred. Let's go.
Would Cindy like to vandalize the ancient chambers?
Sure.
Okay.
It's like sounds sick. I'm in.
The teenager,
lit, bro.
The teenager is like very confused but relieved, and shrugs and gets up and approaches you all and goes to Cindy and says, well, the only paint I brought today is actually, Cindy, roll a d20.
18.
The teenager says, I only brought purple paint, but I was gonna put my tag over here on the western face because that's where all my friends are. And you can put your tag wherever you want.
Would Cindy burn a tag?
Ooh, can I use Cookie to like etch a tag into the like rock face?
You can do whatever you want. I will note, I would have Jimly roll this, but that's boring. Can I get someone who's not Cindy just to roll an investigation? In fact, I kind of want Schmidt to do it. Can I volunteer Schmidt to roll an investigation?
Sure, you voluntold Schmidt.
Great.
Dirty 22.
Okay. The reason why I voluntold Schmidt for this is because he may have an eye for it based on his culture and based on what he's learned from the Draconids as being a lore keeper, is that underneath the graffiti, there is definitely scrawls of ancient languages, multiple of them, at least three. One of them, he and the rest of you probably recognize it as being the same language from Meteor Falls, from the Draconid village. Not necessarily anything you can interpret. They don't interact with each other like the graffiti tags do, which in a sense, if you think about it, if this is a historical record of the cultures and peoples that lived in Hoenn over the years, the vandalism itself is kind of like appropriate, right? Like, we don't know what these ancient messages are, but it kind of is the same vein. There's a bunch of Draconid writing, there's another script he doesn't recognize, and there's one script in four letters at the northern face of the room that seems to have been mostly free of vandalism for whatever reason. And other than that, lots of language that you don't particularly understand.
Cool. Can I make some kind of history check to see if I could translate at least the Draconid letters?
Yes, you absolutely may. Just go ahead and roll that.
That would be a 17.
That's fairly good. It seems like the most like important or central and or oldest text is on the center northern wall. And it seems that it is appended by other scripts nearby. One of those is a Draconid script that, with the scroll that Schmidt has and the experiences that everyone had in Meteor Falls, Schmidt can see and interpret what would translate as a four-letter word in the current common language that everyone speaks. And he would also be able to translate that out. The third out of the four letters is an R. Now, what I am presenting with you, and so the listeners know as well, is a classic Braille puzzle, which is can't really be described. And of course, you all could do the thing that we all did as kids, which was look it up. But I also think that you all could deduce this puzzle. So I'll let you choose on how you want to navigate that. But you are greeted with a four-letter script, a word in an ancient language that is appended by Draconid language that is attempting to translate it, and Schmidt knows that in the common tongue, the third of the four letters is an R.
The ones with two dots are vowels.
I know the word.
Did you translate it or you just know it?
I looked up a guide, but I yeah. saw the first letter. I translated the first letter, and I'm like, no, I got it.
Okay.
Gosh darn.
It's fine. This is very true.
I'm down to like RP it.
Okay.
Like just above table know it, and then we still.
Yeah. Do what you want with it. That's fine. Anyways, let's get the tagging done first.
I think Schmidt would stop the tagging once he realizes he's like, wait, other writing here.
Okay. He doesn't want Cindy the teenager to do it.
Let me take a look at what we got going on first, and then we can tag in a minute.
Okay. The teenager seems confused and disappointed, and they say, I thought you all were cool, and they sulk a little bit, and they're trying to see if they need to make an exit.
Shut the fuck up, kid.
roll an intimidation.
God, I always roll low on these.
Yeah, every time you go to intimidate a child, you fail.
That is a flat nine.
Yeah, they don't really care. They just think you're being rude, and they stick up their tongue at you. But they don't feel intimidated to the point where they need to leave. One more note before the next course of action. The deep rumbling, the rhythmic rumbling that you all felt from the outside, you certainly feel it from the inside. You feel it more powerfully, but it is also more like muddled. Like it rumbles longer and it's more strung together. The rhythmic beats, the ba-dum, ba-dum. But it's the same speed, it's the same pace, it's the same rhythm. It's just more intense and you feel it more in your body. I would like to volunteer an action or a check from Gimli or Elodie because they have not done one in a hot minute. They are welcome to pass, but I would like to see what they're up to.
Hmm. Trying to think of what kind of check I would want to do right now.
Yeah.
There's rocks, there's graffiti, and there's ancient scripts.
Oh, Gimli can look at the rocks and see how old they are.
Yeah.
I could roll a terrible history because I don't have good history. So I'm a big dummy.
I would give you advantage for it because it's rocks.
Oh, hell yeah. And rock advantage.
And you're a miner and you...
Oh, probably... I crit.
That is that is incredibly good. This feature is not as old as the Atlas Stone. It is tens of thousands of years old. No more than that.
And the Atlas Stone is older?
Correct.
Jesus.
Correct. Yeah.
Was the Atlas Stone created at like the dawn of time or something?
I mean...
It's to find plates which are tied to Arceus, so yes.
Yeah, very most likely.
So the Atlas Stone was born at the same time as... Which one's the time one?
The Alga? Well, I mean, probably Arceus.
Yeah, they came with Arceus. Unless they made it after, but like it would be soon after.
From your visit to the museum that happened off of recording, that is canon, you would know that that is approximately the age of when people settled in Hoenn from other regions.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about as old as civilization in this continent.
Can I don't know, try and use context clues to figure out what the letters are in the words?
Sure. What do you mean by context clues?
I don't know what I mean by that.
Okay. Yes, you can make just a generalized intelligence check, I suppose, but if you can think of something more specific to assist your research.
So it's just the word and then followed by, like, draconid text?
Yeah, so the center of the northern face of this room, there is what Gimli identified with his crit, the oldest scribed text. It is in a language that none of you particularly recognize. However, Schmidt recognizes the draconid lettering, which again is like mostly circular and interconnected with lines. That it's very, what's the word? It's not hieroglyphic, it's very stylized kind of text. Very familiar to you from your time at Meteor Falls. And it seems to be like a note or an addendum or something that happened thousands of years after the original text was written that either describes or translates what the oldest text is.
Gotcha. Right.
There is no... The only language in this chamber that is of your current common modern dialect is lots of Marissa and Ben forever and like... Fuck the class of this year, and like I love Voltorb and shit like that.
yes, write a passage, dude. Yeah, Voltorb's kind of great, actually. Yeah, that kid was on to something.
Great. Yeah, I don't really know how else I would figure this out.
Yeah, you can just roll intelligence, see if you do get the vibe.
Yeah, let's just do that. That sounds like a great time. 7.
Yeah, Elodie doesn't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on.
Elodie is fairly familiar with Colossian myths, but those are just a generally different vibe than what's going on here, for sure.
Yeah, we have like a really old, really tall dude. We don't have whatever this is.
Yeah, exactly.
Really old, really tall.
I don't think Cindy will do well, but can I roll history to see if maybe Cindy learned anything in school about anything?
Sure. Cindy didn't go to a lot of school, is my understanding, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Nope.
Okay, yeah.
She did not go to a lot of school. Like, what? I guess what would be standard issue public education in the Pokemon world?
Uh-huh.
Plus one, that's a 15.
Okay. Cindy did not learn in school what necessarily this pyramid, temple, whatever its purpose is for. And perhaps no one really knows, or perhaps she just missed that in her education. What she does remember is that when she went to the Lilycove City Summer Festival in the past, not the most recent time, but when she went with her family to sell berries, she remembered spending time with other kids who were talking about going to a mysterious temple, chamber, cave, etc., to leave some sort of mark as a significant kind of rite of passage as a teenager, and that they were already thinking about what they wanted to say, and that they were excited and nervous, and that there was apparently something similar near Lilycove City.
Yeah, that's not helpful for finding out what this means.
So I'm assuming that the tagging is on hold, correct?
I guess.
I think we could go ahead with the tagging.
Okay. Cindy, the teenager has volunteered you to do what you want first. So as a teenager, how will you leave your mark in history in this desert chamber?
May I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Could Cindy do it with Soli?
I was going to have to do it with Cookie with the spicy fingers, but... Probably could do it with Soli.
Whatever you want, Cindy. Let me know. Let me know what you're doing and where you're doing it and what you are writing, if you are writing or drawing.
I'll have Soli come out.
Okay. Soli comes out. Soli. The beautiful Ninetales.
Soli, we're going to need some heat, and we're going to carve or melt or burn something into the wall here.
Okay. Which?
It was the north wall that had the braille, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I know better than to not do it on the north wall.
I think you should do it on the north wall.
Really?
Yeah. It'd be fun.
Is the word fire, and we need to start a fire to make it do whatever it needs to do?
The third letter is R.
The third letter is, in fact, R. Yeah.
Fire would fit.
All right. I want Soli. This is going to be so bad, but it's very Cindy. It's going to be a dick. Like a super cartoony one. Like,
hell yeah.
And then like a C and then a little flame.
Okay. Yeah, you do that. Give me just a charisma from Soli for the artistic element.
Okay. 8.
Yeah, so it's cute. Soli doesn't have incredible control in this sense. Like, she's a very good fighter, but as far as doing anything artistic, she isn't super experienced, but it still looks cute. Does a little C with a heart to indicate Cindy. Any other flavor or anything that you're doing with your little mark, Cindy?
Nope, that's it. Just, like, burned into the northern wall, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, the teenager's impressed, and they say, oh, way to go, that looks pretty good. And as it is burned in, scorched into the slab on the northern wall, you can see that moments later it, like, begins to repair itself. Like, the rock erases the fire that happens, and the entire chamber begins to rumble as if an earthquake. The teenager is very stressed out and panicking. Does the party do anything in particular during this trembling?
I glare at Schmidt. My mark got erased.
Schmidt's just kind of like looking off, like whistling, like.
Perhaps Schmidt did, in fact, interpret this ancient puzzle as the where the braille text is inscribed at the northern wall. It crumbles and opens up into a passageway that leads into perhaps a secret area. The teenager is curious and also a little freaked out. Gimli says, "Oh, this is for sure what we got to be doing. Do you all enter the secret chamber?"
Begrudgingly.
So we have a situation. Mm-hmm. We have a teenager with us. I don't want to take care of him in a dungeon.
We have two teenagers.
We have an extra teenager.
Yeah.
So, well, now two we have a spare teenagers.
Teenager. Well, if we lose one, then yeah, we've got a backup.
If one goes, we're good to go, man.
I want to send the kid home, but there's still a fucking Hippowdon running around outside.
Then
I
can just come with us.
16 hit points left. Let me just put that out there. Remind everybody.
Oh, yeah. I can give you some spare health. Spare health. Did we heal up after the incidents with the children that were not children?
We had time to.
You had time to. I'll give it to you as far as at least hit points. Maybe not power points, but you didn't use that many.
That's fine.
So I will say yes, short rest for sure. You could have done.
Mm-hmm. I accept. I will give Cindy 20 hit points.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know. I mean, we can take the child with us. As long as he promises not to cause any trouble.
Or he could leave his tag and do his thing and stay in this area. Like, he doesn't have to follow us into the chamber.
What does it seem like the teenager is going to do?
You could roll an insight.
I feel like the teenager is going to want to fuck around further in the cave.
As
teenagers do.
I get a dirty 20.
That's pretty good. The teenager is like wants to fuck around and find out, but also doesn't seem like they are qualified, question mark. Like, they want to be an idiot, you know what I'm saying? They're a teenager. They want to be reckless, and they wanted to leave their mark in this place of history. Are they qualified to do so? That's up to the Paco to decide.
What's your name, kid?
Great question. Let's look at the patron submissions, shall we? Because I don't
it's
have
your
this.
Lucky day patron.
Yeah, whoever it is, choosing somewhat randomly. Porter, His name is Porter.
Porter?
I just wanted to know his name. Variety?
no, this child is not Porter Robinson, unfortunately.
Damn it.
I'll describe them. They're wearing a hoodie. They're wearing like a scarf over their face. Under their hoodie, you can tell that they have blonde hair, and there is a familiar looking like bug type design on the back of their hoodie that resembles a Pokemon that Connor had at the Lava Ridge gym. It also looks like Larvastar a little bit.
Kid, you know how to fight?
Porter says, oh yeah. And you can roll insight on that if you want to see how accurate that is.
I would like to roll insight on that to see how accurate that is.
Sure.
And we don't mean Pokemon battle. How you fists?
Schmidt doesn't know shit.
Okay. yeah, this person's very confident in their ability. Porter looks kind of scrawny, but he says, yeah, I could kick someone's ass.
All right. I kind of like his confidence.
He's very confident. Yeah, I mean, if nothing else.
If he's got the confidence for it, like...
That's the first step. Have a confidence. Yeah.
I'm down.
I throw a punch to see if he can handle it.
Are you going to hit him?
Just try to.
Okay, roll a d20.
Just to try to see if like he could block it or like how tough he is.
Sure.
My d20 is a 17.
Okay. Yeah, he does not see it coming and you just hit him. Roll a d4.
Oh, no! One.
Okay. Yeah, you deal 1 point of damage as you punch him. I'm assuming in the face. he says, ah, sucker punch. I was distracted. That's not fair. And he like pulls up his fist as if he's like going to actually fight you.
Listen, in situations like this, you have to be watching at all times for anything. And I just like walk away.
What an absolute adventure veteran.
Yeah, seriously. He's going to make a roll. He takes it to heart. He like rubs his cheek and he's like, damn, she knows what she's talking about.
yeah, this is the same girl like a crushed by an Aggron and she knows what's up.
And flipped by a
Paladon. Anything can happen, dude.
Gotta be ready for anything.
Anything. She's never ready for any of it.
Kitty Kitty at any moment.
I can create my own disasters at any time.
If you hear Kitty Kitty, you just run. Like that's okay. Yeah. That's my advice.
In the meantime, while you haven't entered the chamber, you will all notice that Gimli is, like, looking around confused. That is to say, he's made a roll he's done poorly. Does anyone want to follow up with him?
Are you looking for something?
Gimli says, yeah, Red said that he would have something waiting for us here when we got here, but I don't see what he could be talking about. We just look like we're in a chamber. Could you guys help me look around?
Sure. Did he leave a message?
Gimli
Do
says.
Did the graffiti say anything? Like Red was here.
Gimli says, you know, Red's not great with words, but usually he's pretty good at following through. So I'm a little curious. What was your question, Cindy? Was there graffiti?
Did Red leave graffiti?
Roll investigation.
I rolled proficiency.
An investigation, just like a general investigation, yeah. And I got a natural one.
Okay, very good, Schmidt. You already solved the puzzle, and you're like, there's nothing else to investigate. Like, this is done.
15 on my investigation.
15. If you just look over the teenager's shoulder, Porter, who you just punched, you will see an uncanny red-colored spray paint of a Pikachu's face by the ground, and you draw particular interest to that. Do you point that out
look,
to Gimli?
That's Red, and there's a Pikachu, and Red likes Pikachu.
Gimli says, oh yeah, that's gotta be it. And he goes over and he goes to kick the wall low to the ground right on Pikachu's face. He does that and it crumbles as if it was like recently constructed and hidden. And he digs through the rubble and he pulls out a not quite a disc, but something that looks a little flat, something that looks familiar. It's like a rune, perhaps that's a good way to describe it. It's a rock that is relatively flat and has an inscription of some sort. And you all feel like that you've seen something like this before. And Gimli picks it up and he says, oh, this must have been what he got from the president. Got it. And he puts it in his pocket.
From the president?
Yeah, of the president of where?
The United
Mr. President,
States?
The Cramorant.
Gimli says...
Joe Biden?
Gimli says, no, the president of Devon Corporation. The Stone family has always been like stone and mineral collectors. And Since Stephen Stone's father passed away and Stephen went to join the Elite Four, they have an interim president who I believe that Red met up with in Rustboro at one point.
So it's not the president of the United Federation.
Jim
it's
Lee,
not Mr. President, the Cramorant.
Jim Lee lets out a chuckle and he says, you know, it's a really peculiar situation because I hear that the president of the Devon Corporation is actually a Pokemon.
Mr. President,
so the Sonic Cramorant. The Hedgehog isn't real.
So we met Mr. President.
It is Mr. President.
Jim Lee looks a little taken aback and he says, oh, you met Mr. President, the president of the Devon Corporation?
Yeah, he tried to eat my fucking Quacko's leek.
He is actually a Pokemon.
He tried to eat cabbage.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's a Cramorant.
Jim Lee lets out a chuckle and he says, yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I heard. Red said that he was worried that he'd have trouble getting this from him, but I guess he did so successfully. And he holds out, the strange rune, takes a look at it. Gimli, could you just roll an investigation real quick?
Absolutely. It's going to go poorly, and it did. Unnatural one.
Okay. Yeah. It just looks like a flat rock that has something inscribed on it. It's approximately, a couple inches. It's not huge, but it seems important for some reason. It also seems vaguely familiar.
Does it look like anything in Sam's journal?
I can't make heads or tails of this. Someone should look at this for me.
Yeah, do you want to open up her journal and like compare?
Or I'll mention to Elodie, like, hey, does this look like anything in Sam's journal? Because I think Elodie still has Sam's journal, right?
Okay, yeah. I guess I'm asking is, like, do you reference the journal or are you trying to remember the journal?
We can reference it.
Okay.
I'll take it out.
If you reference it, I will not make you do a roll. It totally does look like something from the journal, as a matter of fact. On the fourth page, the horizontal one that includes a map of Hoenn with strange markings, as well as a circular symbol with a bunch of symbols laid within, this disc, this rune, contains the exact symbol that is present out of the 18 symbols that is in the chart.
Ah.
It is the symbol that is the on the right below the water drop. It is kind of a circle, and it's got like two bumps on it.
So what is this for, Gimli?
Gimli shrugs and he says, I don't know. People say that these temples in Hoenn are wrought with puzzles, and these stones, these discs, have been dated to be about the same age as these ruins. And collectors, especially in Rustboro at the gym, and the Stone family has a collection of these, and Red thought it might be pertinent that we acquire one, and it seems like the president handed it over.
So I love that the president had this.
Is it normal type?
Rock.
The intention for this one is that it is normal.
Normal. I've lied.
Because I thought that was the symbol for normal. That's why I was...
Right. Right, but in terms of like the Atlas Stone locations, I think the rock one was the one that we were supposed to find here.
Oh, the
score... That would be plate. That would be a plate.
Yes. Sorry.
This is not a plate.
Right.
This is just a little guy.
This is a disc. Correct.
Does it react with the Atlas Stone? Can I pull out the Atlas Stone? Very discreetly as to not, like, make the teenager question it.
I'll distract the teenager.
Okay, what does the distraction look like?
I have no idea. I take out Blueberry. I'm like, check out this cool Swablu.
I'm going to roll for the teenager. Yeah, he loves Swablu. He's like, oh, no way. I love these guys. And, like, he goes to pet it. Do you allow Porter to pet the Swablu?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Blueberry's into it. Cindy, Porter is thoroughly distracted. You're able to make the check. It has no particular reaction with the Atlas Stone.
Okay, that's fine.
Do you return it to Gimli or do you hold on to it?
Does it have any reaction to... Is Quacko a normal type?
He is.
Can I ask Gimli if we could like see if Quacko can interact with it? Because Quacko is a normal type.
Gimli shrugs and says, do whatever you want with it.
Yo. Schmidt, can I give this to Quacko?
Sure.
Quacko! Rock!
Quacko engages with the rock unless Schmidt stops him, and there is no particular reaction. It seems that this particular piece of earth is not particularly arcane.
Dope. All right. Well, let's put it somewhere safe.
Do you put it in your pocket? Your bag?
I don't know if on Cindy's person is generally a safe place.
I've been keeping the Atlas Stone very safe.
Fair enough.
I've also told literally everyone that you have it.
It's true. they were like, don't tell anyone. And we've been like, what if we told everyone?
I didn't tell this child.
Did we actually investigate the thing itself?
What thing?
The normal thing.
Gimli did poorly.
Okay. Can I make some sort of...
Investigate it? Quacko can give it to Schmidt.
Okay.
Would it be investigation or history or...
Yeah, whatever you're trying to infer about it would depend on what check you're making.
Give it like a history.
Okay, sure. Yeah, you can roll that.
22.
Yeah, you acknowledge that this is also a fairly old rock. It's been worn and weathered, and you can tell if you look very, very closely at the like in the chisel, the inscription, that it was like made by hand at some point because there's some inconsistencies in the grooves. As far as history, it doesn't seem to be particularly historically significant. You don't recognize it in any way. You are inferring that it has something to do with normal type Pokemon, but besides that, you're not really getting a vibe from it.
Okay.
Whatever the purpose is, you are uncertain at this time. It seems everyone is.
Mm-hmm. All righty.
So besides that, there is this new chamber that has been exposed at the northern wall. Are we entering? Or are we going to delay?
I'm down. Into the unknown.
Are there any... I guess I more should ask, is there any apprehension? Or is there anything that anyone wants to get done before they enter?
No, I'm chilling.
Yeah, I don't have any particular apprehension.
I'm ready to go.
Okay. Cindy, Elodie, Gimli, Jimli, Schmidt, and Porter all follow each other into this new room that has seemingly opened up. The thing about this room is that it is very small. It is about 10 feet wide. It's like an elevator. Everyone can just kind of fit in it, and it seems to be dark, and there is just rock. You hear the rumbling very succinctly, and you feel it in your bones. The same ba-doom, ba-doom is happening. And as you all step into this chamber, the floor begins to give way and you all begin to fall. Does anyone make a reaction to try and prevent themselves from falling, or do we all let this happen?
How rapidly are we? Like, is this like we're going to fall, or like it's lowering?
It is not, in fact, an elevator. The floor has given out and you hear the sound of rushing sand as your feet are giving way.
Sick. I love it here. This is so great.
Okay. I will assume that no one resists.
No, I don't know if we can really, huh?
I mean, you could try.
Is this one of those like you let yourself fall and you fall through so you get through to the next room?
Well, you can find out if you wish.
Yeah.
The party plus Porter plus Jimli, they all find themselves skidding down a slide of sand. It whirs through the darkness, and there's sand in everyone's pants as they are spiraling vertically through corridors and passageways. It is not particularly well lit, but a keen eye might observe that there are occasional inscriptions of the ancient variety on the walls and the ceiling as they are effectively going down a water slide, but instead of plastic and water, it is ancient stone and sand. After about 10 seconds, it comes to a halt as they find themselves in a sandy room that is lit dimly by a torch in the corner. What they see in front of them is strange old inscriptions on the wall with lots of various symbols and little small holes that are roughly 2 inches and square or disc shaped. And most importantly, they see two different corpses. They see a skeleton that is clothed in adventurer's wear, holding a journal tight to their chest with a bag strapped over their shoulder. And they see another skeleton that is wearing distinctly what is a Neo-Rocket Galactic uniform. And as they come to their senses and they stand up from the sandslide, that is where we will end today's session. Hello, and thank you so very much for listening to the 90th episode of Dunsparce and Drampop. If you haven't joined the Discord yet, what are you doing? Give it a shot. Discord.gg/Calyrex. It's the home of the podcast and all the other activities associated with our little group. It is only in that server that you get easy access to myself and all of the players if you want to have discussions, questions, or just play some games together like Pokemon Unite or whatever is going on in the server that day. Check it out. Again, that's Discord.gg/Calyrex. Calyrex is spelled Calyrex. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back for episode 91 on August 20th.
really feeling it.
There you go.
Yeah, I actually was the voice actor for Shulk.
Oh, yeah. No, I heard it.
Mm. Not really. It's just I hate the one game with the big-titted anime woman.
Mm. This is the second one?
Yeah.
Big-titted
anime woman, yeah. Yeah, they haunt my dreams also.
The big-titted anime women?
Yeah, they haunt his dreams, yeah.
I just can't sleep. They're just... they won't leave me alone.
And these are nightmares.
Yeah.
Kira, keep this in.
Wouldn't they be for you too? Yeah.
Oh God.
Kira, put this in at the end.
No, I mean,
Kira, make this a separate short for.
I'll definitely animate this. Don't worry.
This is your TikTok. Oh
my God, it's so over for you.
Say hi to TikTok, Richie.
I'm canceled. It's over.
So the first thing people did when they moved to this continent was, let's build a thing where it's hard to build things because of the weather.
Have you met the Mayans or the Incans or the Egyptians? Is my question.
I have.
No, they're ancient civilizations. Yeah, I've never met them.
Yeah, I haven't either, but...
this is crazy.
No.
We're going to die here.
Probably. Kit.